Hi guys, and welcome to World EV Day. Yeah, the 9th of September is actually designated World EV Day. So on this World EV Day, I thought, you know what? Let's talk about EVs. Let's look at where they are now. Let's look at the situation with how they're going in terms of what they offer. Let's look at prices. Let's look at sales of EVs, and let's look at the marketplace, all in the UK context, of course. Let's see how they're doing, but also, and perhaps most importantly of all, let's address a possible conspiracy around EVs that currently appears to be circulating, particularly here in London. We'll do all of that right after this. A brown car guy. Brown car guy. Right then, so let's actually kick off with that conspiracy theory. So where this comes from actually is obviously the ultra low emission zone ULEZ has been introduced in the London area, making expanding the current zone out all the way to the whole of outer London, making London actually now the biggest low emission zone in the world, believe it or not, 600 square miles. I'm not happy about it because it means that I can't drive my classic car without having to pay the daily £12.50 charge, and a lot of other people aren't happy about it. Obviously, there's been a lot of content. I've been putting up a lot of content. I've been doing a lot of coverage, and some of the comments that I've gotten every now and then on this and elsewhere that I've also seen is that people think that there's some sort of conspiracy here, some sort of that the government is actually, or the authorities are in cahoots with the car manufacturers. And ultimately, this is all about, you know, forcing us into EVs and forcing us to buy more EVs. So basically what they're saying is that the reason these legislations and restrictions are coming in place so that they can force people to buy more EVs, and therefore that helps the car industry. Well, I don't think so. I don't think that that is the case. And the reason being is that the car industry itself is potentially suffering absolute decimation, honestly, because of the advent of EVs, because of the so-called EV revolution. I mean, already, you know, we've had Ford, for example. I think it was earlier this year, last year, they said that they would have to cut their workforce by 40% as they transitioned from traditional ICE, which is internal combustion engine cars, to the new generation of EVs. And already, and why is that? Because obviously there's less research and development. The cars, although they, in one sense, they're more complex, but in another sense, they're actually quite relatively simple technology. It's a battery and it's a motor, you know. Ultimately, you create these skateboards or these platforms and you can build anything on top of that. And so what effectively is starting to happen in the car industry is a kind of consolidation of this, because ultimately only so many people need those platforms. You can just buy them if you don't already have one. So even with Ford, for example, with the Mach-E, the Mustang Mach-E, they created their own first full electric vehicle. But when they went to their second SUV, the Ford Explorer EV, they've actually gone to Volkswagen and bought one of their platforms. So they've worked with them. They've collaborated with them to build their next generation EV. So you can see what's happening there. So as a, you know, such a big company like Ford to do that, to go to one of the world's biggest car companies, which is Volkswagen, which is pretty much putting all its eggs into the EV basket. I mean, they're phasing everything out in the next few years, including the Golf. The Golf will become electric. Everything will become electric with Volkswagen. And yet we are in an EV right now, and this is a Toyota BZ4X. I can never remember the name of this thing. Why have Toyota done this? I mean, Toyota, you have always been so brilliant with names. Camry, Corolla, Century, Crown, RAV4, Land Cruiser. I mean, you know, and many of those have sort of royal connotations and stuff. And suddenly you've gone with this very strange name for the first EV from Toyota. So this is the point I was getting at, is that Toyota, along with Volkswagen, they're probably one of the world's biggest car companies. They trade that number one spot every now and then. And they've only now gone with their first full-fledged EV, and I think that says a lot about it. But let's go back to what I was saying about this conspiracy idea. And the thing is that rather than, you know, car manufacturers being in cahoots with governments or authorities to force people to buy more EVs, I think it's actually the other way around. The government is forcing car manufacturers to make more EVs, or government by governments, I should say, governments. But here in the UK, for example, there's a program called Powering Up Britain, right? And Powering Up Britain, part of that, there is the ZEV mandate. That's a zero emission vehicle mandate. And I believe that that's coming into effect from the 1st of January, 2024. So not just 2 months away, basically. And this is what this is going to do is that the government is saying, according to this ZEV mandate, car manufacturers must ensure a certain percentage of the cars they sell must be zero emissions. Effectively, that means EVs, that means electric vehicles. So this is the governments and authorities legislating to car companies that you must do this. Car companies, they want to grow. Yeah, let's be honest, the car industry always wants to grow. They want to build more factories, they want to build more cars, they want to sell more cars, that's what they want to do. But here, they're having to contract because they're being forced into this area, which is a relatively new area. We'll come back to that in a minute. Let's focus on the ZEV mandate. What does it mean? So it means that, so for example, in 2021, 17% on average of all cars on sale being produced were EVs. In 2024, next year, each manufacturer must have 22% of its cars to be EV. And that goes up every year. So 22% in 2024, in 2025 it's 33%, in 2026 it's 38%, in 2027 it's 52%, in 2029 it's 66%, and in 2030 it's 80%. Now you're probably confused like me there. How comes in 2030 it's only 80% when the government is saying that 2030 is the cutoff for sales of petrol and diesel cars? I think there's an allowance there for an alternative, and the alternative is likely to be hybrids, because as they have said, some hybrids are likely to be continued. So basically it's zero emission capable vehicles, and because plug-in hybrids, for example, can do up to 30-40 miles on electric power only, it's likely that they will be allowed to continue. So that will be up to 2035 when it says 100%. Now, keep in mind that this is for the UK, because in Europe, the actual 2030 equivalent in Europe was actually 2035. And that's already been pushed back because of objections from Germany and Italy. But that's happening here in the UK. Now, my personal feeling is that this is all going to fall apart. But anyway, the thing is that there's some punitive actions. I'll come to that in a minute. So they're kind of enforcing this. Similar situation with vans as well. I'll just quickly tell you about those as well. They're slightly less strict. So in 2024, it's a 10% requirement. Remember, for cars or passenger cars, if you like, it was 22%. So it's 10% requirement. And then in 2025, it's 19%. 2026, it's 22%. 2027, it's 34%. 2028, it's 46%. 2029, it's 50%. And then 2030, it's 70%. Now, like I said, slightly less stringent, and probably allows for the fact that, as we know, electric vehicles have some way to go in terms of being fully developed in terms of transporting goods and being used for haulage and freight transport and stuff like that. So lorries, I think, are going to be a different case, but vans, I think there's some allowance there for that. Now, there are some fine print to this ZEV mandate. Small volume manufacturers, those that produce less than 2,500 units per year, and micro volume manufacturers that produce less than 1,000 units a year, will receive allowances, exempting them from elements of this scheme. Although from 2030 and 2035, targets for the end of non-zero emission vehicles will apply to them as well. So from that point, they will also not be able to sell petrol and diesel cars, but they will have less restrictiveness on them until that point. However, there is also another bit of fine print also up to that point. Notably, small volume manufacturers who only produce EVs. So, for example, if you're many startups now are starting up and they're just focusing on EVs, so they're just buying in platforms, building their own car and selling them on there. And what they can do is that the allowance that they have, so that extra allowance that they have to actually build internal combustion engines, which they're not using, they can sell that allowance to other manufacturers. There's a weird kind of credit system that's going to go on here, where manufacturers can actually trade this within the group and with each other. It's effectively, each sale of a zero emission vehicle would result in a credit, which offsets the sale of a non-ZEV machine. Manufacturers would be able to form pools, which would allow, for example, the Volkswagen Group to have all of its brands, Audi, Bentley, Lamborghini, Seat, whatever, Volkswagen, of course, they work together in that pool, and then they could trade that percentage across those different companies. And manufacturers will be allowed to trade these allowances, a bit like football stickers, it said in one article. So they could actually exceed the percentage of their ZEVs that they're selling, and then sell that extra percentage to another manufacturer, or they could fall short and then buy the percentage from another manufacturer, if you see what I mean. The government is inviting feedback on whether it should allow companies to borrow credits from future years. So another possibility that they're talking about is like, well, if you couldn't hit your targets this year, you could borrow the credit from next year, but next year you'll have to make more ZEVs to make up for that. And why would they need to do that? Why would it be so important? But they'd have to pay back anything they borrow with annual interest. So there'll be an interest on what they do. Why would you have to do that? Because otherwise you get fined. And the government is proposing a payment of £15,000 per excess activity for cars and £18,000 for vans. That's a lot of money. That would basically mean that once all these complex exemptions above are accounted for, car manufacturers would face a £15,000 fine for each vehicle that they sell past their ZEV target. So if they haven't got the allowance, if they haven't bought the credits, and they're still producing too many ICE cars, and they've gone above their target, then for every car, they'd be fined £15,000. So if they're making a car that they're selling in the market for £25,000, £30,000, £15,000 of that is a fine. I mean, that is seriously punitive right there. And say for example, if somebody worked it out, say for example, there's 2,000 vehicles, that's £30 million. Now, we know that car manufacturers have paid a lot more than that, for example, for being fined for certain scandals and things like that. But still, I mean, that's a serious hit on the car manufacturers and the car industry. And it really, like I said, it's bad news for them. It's really bad news for them. And this is why they're consolidating what they're doing in terms of their buildings, in terms of where their factories are, in terms of where the advantages are, in terms of their workforces, in terms of their R&D. I'm personally, as a car guy, somebody who's observed the car industry for coming up to 35 years now, I think this is going to be really bad for them. Because people have no idea. People think you just build a car and sell it and then you make profit on it. People don't understand the sheer volume of time, energy, and frankly investment the car industry puts into developing the next generation of vehicles. That's going to be killed off because they just won't have the money to do that, because they'll be paying fines and they're just focusing on electric vehicles, which they're just buying an architecture for. So we're not actually going to see any progress, which I think would be a real shame. But on the other hand, car manufacturers, like, you know, the car industry, I've always said, the car industry is not the problem here. The car industry has never been the problem. The car industry is like, well, give us a target and we'll do it, you know? And even now, they're like, okay, fine, well, you give us the targets and we'll try and do those targets, right? But from their point of view, they're saying, well, yeah, but you know what? We're doing what we're doing. And the reality is they are, because look, I mean, just about every car that I'm reviewing these days, every new car that I'm reviewing these days, it happens to be an EV. So you can see the sheer volume of all the manufacturers really, really surging ahead. And, you know, the cars are getting better and better. The technology is getting better and better. They're getting more comfortable. They're smoother to drive. They're easier to live with. And, you know, it's just getting better and better. So they're doing their part. They are. They're producing the cars. They're putting them out there. But then they're turning to the government and say, yeah, but are you doing your part? Where's the infrastructure? Where's the charging capabilities? You know? You know, they're investing, you know, car manufacturers and other smaller industries, they're investing in better battery technology, better battery chemistry, better battery layouts. There's quite a few things in the pipeline that are coming through probably in around 5 years' time, maybe sooner. I suspect 5 years, because we're already into model cycles, and model cycles, don't forget, are 5 years at least, you know. But possibly sooner, because with EVs, we're seeing that change pretty much quickly, because technology is almost getting redundant as soon as it comes out, because then a new phase of battery technology or chemistry or whatever is coming out, and then making that passe, if you like. But they're doing it, you know, and they're spending the money and they're taking the time and they're doing the investment and they're racing ahead. But then they're saying to the government, it's like, well, you know, where's the infrastructure? You know, why are the charging costs so high? Why can't people charge their cars? Where can they park them? You know, so all of these things are happening, you know? So I think that's the issue. And the issue is not with the manufacturers. So if you look at the cars, so that's a conspiracy theory part. If you come back to the state of the market, look at the state of the industry, look at the state of the situation with cars, EVs, and motorists, what you'll find is that availability is improving, but demand is wavering, you know, apart from fleet sales. But why is that? Well, let's look into that. In fact, you know, there's been a lot of data that's been released by Auto Trader recently, Auto Trader being, you know, amongst the biggest classified websites in the UK, and they do compile a lot of data, and they send out these press releases, so it's really, really useful, and they send out a lot of data, and they really crunch the numbers, so that's really helpful, and I'll share this with you, but before I share that with you, anecdotally, I know I've now heard from a lot of people And, you know, because for years, for a few years now, we've had these tax breaks and tax incentives like BIK, benefit in kind tax break, if you're buying it as a company lease, et cetera, et cetera. People haven't done that. They've gone down the EV route, you know. I mean, EVs have been around, you know, we've had the Nissan Leaf and the Tesla Model S for coming up to just over a decade now, you know. So people have now had the time to do the EV thing. You know, we're coming up to that 10-year mark, you know, with some of these cars, you know. And I said seriously, within the last 5 years, people really started to switch to EVs and started to drive them. And anecdotally, I'm hearing from a lot of people that they've done it, didn't really work for them, they're going back to ICE. And the other problem is that also that some of the incentives are disappearing. I mean, you know, there's going to be road tax equivalent added to EVs from 2025. So at the moment they may be free, but, you know, that's coming for them. And then the BIK incentive that I mentioned earlier, and I'm not an accountant, but as I understand it, that's the benefit of that is going to be reducing over the next 4 years, up to 2028. So that's not helping people either. So all of a sudden people are going, well, where's the incentive now? Then there's a cost, right? The cost of running it, the cost of charging it. I'll come back to that in a minute, actually, because I want to go on to the actual figures from Autotrader. Now, on the top level, it's actually good news. It's actually good news because what they're saying is that there's been a 23% contraction, read that reduction, in used prices for EVs. So why is that? What's been going on? Well, there's a couple of things have happened. First of all, a few months ago, Tesla started to slash prices, go into a price war. If Tesla, which is one of the market leaders in the EV segment, slashes prices, then other people, then they slash significant. I'm talking like $9,000 on some cars in some markets, right? So that was significant. Others had to follow. And that cut their profit margins. It's really, it's quite ruthless. It's quite cutthroat, right? So this pushed prices down on the new cars, and then of course it pushed prices down on the used market. In addition to that, what's also happened is, like I said, we've had, like, you know, say up to 5 years of people actually genuinely moving into EVs. So leasing programs are like 3 to 5 years, 3 to 4 years. So those 3 to 4 year cars are now coming back into the market now. So it's relatively new 3-4 year old cars are now coming back. They've come back into the market now. So there's been an abundance of EVs. So A, the new market sector has pushed the prices down, which has impacted the values of older EVs. And then older EVs, the EVs that have already been used, have now come back into the market. So that has also pushed the prices down. So what does that mean? It meant that as a result of that, more than a quarter of used EVs were priced at under £20,000 last month, which is in August, right? And so that equates to the 23%. Drop, but also EVs of 3 to 5 years old, so even older ones, they were down by 40%. So they were down by as much as 40%. And I've heard anecdotally things of depreciation figures even higher than that on some of these EVs. So they're definitely, the depreciation is happening. However, demand is up. Demand is up by 68.6%, is nearly 70%. Demand is up. And that's compared to like a year ago. So that's for August and compared to August in 2022. And this is for used EVs. And the cars are moving quicker. So the dealers are finding that they will move on the car within 28 days. So that's 28 days they've got the car. They move it on within 28 days. The average for, say, a petrol car is 30 days. So it's a couple of days quicker. So that's not bad. But, and I'll quote this from the Autotrader press release, uptake is still limited to wealthier drivers as concerns over affordability and charging hold back the push to mass adoption. This is what the press release says. They went on to say, only 47% of drivers think that EVs will fit in with their lifestyles, according to, this is their Road to 2030 report that they've done. It's based on a survey of 4,000 drivers across the UK. So better than some YouGov reports, polls, right, which are only 1,000 people. It's 4,000 people, so it's fair enough, you know. 56% of drivers consider EVs to be too expensive. 47% are worried about the lack of charging points, right? And these are people expressing there's not actual issues with charging points. You may say that, well, there are enough charging. You may be right, but this is a perception. This is a perception of people, right, that drivers consider them too expensive. That's 56%, 47% worried about lack of charging. Now, also the cost, too expensive. They looked at that and they said, well, how many cars, EVs, are now available, brand new, for under 30K? And it was just 9 models. And this is odd, because apparently by the end of 2022, there were, in fact, 11 brand new EVs available for sale in the UK at under £30,000. But now it's only 9 models. And, you know, and it's actually, because of the pressures that are being put on manufacturers to go down this EV route, the investment of time, the fact that, you know, the resources are still quite expensive. So I'm talking about, you know, the raw materials that are needed to produce an EV. Even smaller cars. So Mini have just announced their next generation, fifth generation EV Mini. The Mini thankfully, will still be available as a petrol car. Well, that's good news. Because I thought that the next generation Mini would only be EV, but no. They will do a petrol version, but they've announced the EV version first. They've released the pictures, they've announced it. I just put it on Facebook last night. You can have a look on my Facebook, Brown Car Guy. But the starting price for that is £30,000. £30,000 is the starting price. So the report, in their report, back to this report, it says that EVs are still about 33% more expensive than equivalent ICE cars. And as for charging, EVs are cheaper to run, but it depends on how you charge them. And they reckon that with some home charging, you can typically save about £142 per 1,000 miles. I guess that's comparing to an internal combustion engine. But with public charging, it's only about £41 per 1,000 miles. So there's still a saving there, but not quite as much. And one thing that they have pointed out is that there's 20% VAT on public charging. And again, it goes back to what we were saying earlier about the manufacturers and also people like Auto Trader and bodies such as SMMT are saying, well, why isn't the government doing enough to actually, if they want people to move or transition to EVs, why have they taken away the incentives? Why aren't they putting them back? It's too early to take away those incentives, you know? Cost incentives, you know, tax incentives, being able to park or drive them in certain areas and stuff like that, you know. Manufacturers, like I said, they're doing their bit. But they need these incentives back. Like the car market, prices and demand is starting to return to normal. That's the overall market, not just EVs, but in, you know, because since the pandemic, the market's been crazy. Prices have been shooting up. The average price of a used car is now 17K, where it used to be about 14 something K before pandemic. It's just bonkers. But things are starting to return to normal. Maybe I'll do another video on the state of the market. Stay tuned. Make sure you're subscribing, hit notifications, all the rest of it. So look more detailed, deep dive into what's happening in the used car market in the UK. But back to this thing though, manufacturers, like I said, they're doing their bit. I reckon, and then there's no conspiracy here. Manufacturers are being forced into this position. I reckon manufacturers want to build the cars that they know how to build. They've been building internal combustion engine cars for coming up to 130 years now, right? EVs, 10 years. A decade. 130 years. They know how to make internal combustion engines. They've been making them better and better. The most modern cars are petrol, diesel, are so efficient, so clean, so good. That's where they've invested their money in. That's what they've invested their infrastructure in. And now they're having to switch across to this. It's completely different technology. It's not good news for the car manufacturers. And people think, oh, it's just another way for them to make more money. It's not. It's not good news for them. They're being forced to do this. They're doing it because they're like, sure, we'll do it. You know, if this is the future, we'll do it. You know, if this is, what, is this the way we're going, is this what legislation requires, we'll do it. But it's going to hurt them. I said to somebody the other day, he said, manufacturer names, you know, because it was something about, what happened there? The GoPro overheated. It's a hot day. I'm sitting in this EV and I've got the EV on. Not, I can't say engine running. I've got it on because I switched it on because obviously I wanted to get the AC on. The AC's been running. It was on 185 mile range when I got into the car. I've been recording for 25 minutes now, and it's down to 180. So I suppose that's reasonable. 20, 25 minutes I've been sitting in the car with the AC on full. Anyway, so like I said, you know, they're getting better and better. So to come back to what I was saying, manufacturers are suffering. The industry will... I mean, we're going to see a lot of brand names disappear. Somebody said to me the other day, like, oh, Seat are going to be repositioned. Now that they've broken Seat into Seat and Cupra, and now they're like, what should we do with Seat? And I think they're going to be so basically no more passenger cars at some point, which is a shame, because if people remember things like the Seat Cupra VT, was it VT? I can't remember, but it's like the Golf GTI version, right? And I said to the guy, I said, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of manufacturer nameplates that we're familiar with sadly start to disappear in the next decade or so, because it'll be unsustainable. It won't make any sense. So that, you know, so for manufacturers, I don't think it's a good thing for them. I don't think so. They're doing the best that they can. But I don't think that there's any conspiracy here. You know, where the manufacturers are like, oh yeah, this is good for us, let's do more of this. I think the EVs are great cars. I've already said that. This is not an anti-EV rant, if people think that's the case. I've reviewed so many of them. They're great. I like them. But right car for the right person, right situation. I also think that they're in the nascent stage. I think that we're still experiencing a lot of teething troubles, not just with the cars, but with the whole lifestyle around EVs. And I think that there's a way to go yet. So I think that, you know, these things should be done naturally. There should be a natural transition to them. You know, and I think that what governments are trying to do, which is force everybody to move to EVs when they're not right for everybody yet, I think is a mistake. And I think they should allow that to naturally happen as the technology, as the infrastructure, and as everything catches up. And then people are like, oh, okay, yeah, actually, no, that would make sense for me. Let's do that. And also, like, the other thing is that it's not necessarily great for the environment. You know, as I said in the previous videos, you think about, just take the UK, and you got 40 million vehicles in the UK, right? You replace 40 million vehicles overnight with EVs. Imagine the damage you will do to the environment if you consider the carbon footprint of producing those EVs. And this is not an argument about the increased carbon footprint of an EV versus the carbon footprint of producing a brand new ICE car. The EV is more. For those people that say it's not, it is more. There's no question of that. I mean, it's anything between 8 to 20 tons of CO2 to produce and deliver an EV compared to about 5 to 6 tons for an internal combustion engine car. When you multiply that over 40 million vehicles, that's a lot of damage you're going to do to the planet. And it's we're doing more harm than good. And you've got to wonder, well, hang on, that doesn't make any sense. But a natural transition makes sense. Every car that, you know, as somebody said to me the other day, is that the UK car population has already always hovered around 40 million. Which means that as cars die, other cars come in and replace them. So every car that you kill off has to be replaced by a brand new car. So that happens automatically anyway. So that natural transition is fine. We're talking about annual sales of, in a good year, of about a million vehicles, right? So I think that, you know, forcing them down people's throat is actually probably doing EVs more harm than good. And it's also creating a bit of negativity around them with a lot of people. Hence these conspiracy theories and stuff like that. But I think that the market itself is saying that, you know, they're not, people are not quite ready for it. People are a little bit uncertain. And even though they're now used markets, they're getting cheaper, they're getting more affordable. People are like, no, still not sure about it. Don't know how I can work with it. Don't know if it work with my lifestyle. Don't know if it will retain the value. Don't know if it will last the distance. A lot of people, there's lots of concerns. So I think, you know, sometimes, you know, we just need to tread carefully and look a bit more forward and see where this is all going. But anyway, that's the state of EVs today on World EV Days. Hope you enjoyed this video, and I'll catch you again soon in the next one. Hope you enjoyed that video. If you did, please, please hit the like button and share this video as well if you can. And while you're at it, check out these guys who also sponsor my content. I am deeply grateful to them because it helps me to buy new equipment, put fuel in the cars, and yes, buy a cup of coffee. You can do the same. Just go here or right here on YouTube. Just hit these three little dots down here and click on thanks. Make sure you're signed in first. My content is free, but this is how you can help me keep it that way. I may even send you a gift. Oh, by the way, watch this next.